You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
We're back on Veterans Radio, listening to a little bit of patriotic music from John Philip Sousa. We're talking with Rick Briggs, who is the program manager for the Veterans Programs for the Brain Injury Association of Michigan, and we've been talking about some of the symptoms that are connected with a traumatic brain injury and some of the things that people can do. Rick, where can people go to get some more information on this?
Well, the easiest tie-in is right directly to our website, actually, and that can get them into a lot of things. One, a lot of information about the symptoms. They can read about brain injury, and they can tie into a lot of national organizations right through our website. And that is www.BIAMI, that's Bravo India Alpha Mike India, that stands for Brain Injury Association, MI is Michigan, .org, BIAMI.org. And they can get a lot of information right there.
Well, we certainly encourage them to do that. And you were mentioning earlier that a lot of times it's family members that notice that the veteran's behavior has changed, in some cases dramatically. And so we encourage people to watch out for their men and women that are coming home. And I don't mean to stare at them. But, you know, if you notice some subtle changes in there, we know that it's a touchy subject because many of us have been there before when we came home from a conflict. And, you know, we're pretty defensive about our behavior sometimes. How can they go about getting through that barrier that we set up on our own?
Well, that's the really tough part. What portion of their change is just because of the deployment that everybody goes through? You know, that's the good mm-hmm. question. Unfortunately, a lot of people say, just leave me alone. I'll be, you know,
right.
I'll get better, whatever. With 80% of the symptoms being relevant to both PTSD and TBI, it's really difficult to ascertain, is this a psychological thing? Is it physiological? Is it just the normal, hey, I'm home now, I'm back in a different environment? And, you know, self-diagnosis is not the best way to go.
Right.
Go in, get checked in, go through the screening. If they do some very base level screenings, if there's enough flags that come up, they'll send you to the next level of screening, and again, if you know, if every screening level is set up to funnel it in as to what it is, you know, all the way up to the full 6-7 hour neuropsych eval, you know, and again, you need to get with the experts.
Yeah, and yeah, we're not saying. Yeah, I agree with Rick entirely on this self-diagnosis thing because we all think sometimes we can become experts in stuff, and we're trying to make sure that you don't just sit there and suffer alone. Let's put it this way, and it's not just
Absolutely.
You. I was thinking of, you know, if you go to some veterans organizations, they have group meetings where you can sit down and talk about some of the issues that you're going through, and you'll find out that you're not alone, and that you're not the only one that can't necessarily remember everything or that gets angry at, you know, what you think are simple things. And I think that might give you a little clue that, well, maybe somebody can help me. And
right.
I think it's really important to do that to all of the people out there.
And one of the really difficult things is you think about the symptoms with PTSD. And if a guy goes through a PTSD program but it doesn't seem to be working,
mm-hmm.
There may be a physiological
right.
injury, which is the cause of that. And, you know, I kind of liken it to pumping air in a tire that's got a hole in it. You know, you got all this good training and so on going in, but if the brain can't process the information the way it needs to, and different centers have been affected, you need to get them rehabilitated, and you know, let the experts get to work so you can get your life back. You know, I'm talking about a quality of life, not just going through life. You know,
right. Right, I understand that. Well, I wanted to ask you, Rick, I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking about traumatic brain injury, but I also wanted you mentioned that your son is coming back and is going to be starting some new training soon. Tell me a little bit about that. The people that we talk to on this program, folks, all have credibility, and Rick has got it. And so I wanted to ask you about what's going on with your son.
We're very excited. Jeremy got back actually a year and a half ago now from Iraq. They did over, he was an MP up in Mosul, and he did over 200 combat patrols. He had about 12 to 15 IED exposures and all that. So there were some early symptoms and signs and so on that we were monitoring. He went through all the screening. Of course, when your dad does this for a living, he's not going to let you get away with just, fine, leave me alone. but, he has his college degree. He completed OCS. He became the fifth Mustang in our family to go from enlisted to officer ranks, just pinned on as second lieutenant. He got a Black Hawk helicopter pilot slot, so we're very happy for him, and he'll be starting that training next year.
I think that's great. Of course, as a former helicopter pilot, I always think it's wonderful when those young men and women can get in there and fly. Those things are amazing.
And they call that work. Can you believe it?
That's just what I was talking about with somebody the other day. You know, they paid me to fly these things. It was great. Anyway, I want to thank you so very much for being on Veterans Radio, Rick. And I know that we'll be talking again in future. And I want to get together and talk about that helmet thing with you again. So thanks very much.
Absolutely. And thank you very much for what you guys do, getting the word out to the vets. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll be talking to you again soon. Well, folks, it's another great example of what veterans are doing to help veterans. It's what the civilians are doing to help veterans out there. I mean, we're talking about a 17-year-old young boy from Rochester, Michigan, putting on a baseball tournament to raise funds for veterans that are suffering from traumatic brain injury. I think that's what is so cool. I wanted to get Bob on here for just a minute here at the end of the program, because Bob and Gary, as I mentioned last week, went up to Grayling to observe the training that the National Guard is going through. And you mentioned something interesting this morning when we were looking at a picture in the local newspaper about the training that's up there. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, I would, Dale. When I saw that photograph in the Detroit Free Press a couple of days ago, I know, folks, this may sound funny, but it actually triggered something. At the end of the firefight that we watched, and it was a firefight, it had explosions, a lot of noise, machine guns going off. There was something that happened to my body when it was over. It took about 40-45 minutes for the entire exercise to play itself out. I was energized. I almost felt like having tears when it stopped and it was over. Just for that moment, my whole body was reacting, and what it was reacting to were the sounds, the explosions, the sounds of rifle fire, the sounds of the orders being given. And then all of a sudden it stopped. The bad guys went away, and everybody was now decompressing. And I even commented to Gary. I turned to him immediately, because we were right in the middle of it, covering it, and I said, "Did you see what I saw? Did you feel what I saw?" And of course he said, yes, he did. And we just stared at each other. Now, the other day, when I saw that photograph, it started to come back. And it wasn't anxiety. It was a rush. Mm-hmm. It was the body,
it's just a reaction. I mean, all you're doing is, it's almost like you're reliving it.
Yes,
over again, and
right.
and even though it was, you know, it wasn't real ammunition.
No, there weren't real bullets in that.
Right,
but
it's just the noise level. It pumps up your adrenaline so high because you've got this fight or flee thing going on in your mind, the noise goes away, and it's like you want to touch yourself and go, oh, okay, I'm still here, and you know, you try to go on, and then you'll see a picture, and it'll come right back again.
I did do that. I actually, during the firefight, I started to crouch down. I mean, I didn't know what else was going to happen, so I'm crouching down. Gary crouched down, and there we were. And I wanted to give that to our listeners. I wanted to give that mm-hmm. to our listeners. That is real. It does.
And this is, and these are things that, this is what comes back to a veteran every time they hear a sound that sounds familiar, or they smell a smell, and it's just amazing. We want to, you know, we're coming up at the end of the program, folks, as usual, and we just wanted to thank Rick Briggs for being on, Sam Kilberg and his baseball tournament up in Rochester, Michigan. If you get the opportunity, go on up there to Oakland University. We're going to be doing a live program from Eastern Michigan University on September 5th when Eastern plays West Point. We're going to be there in the morning for a show, and we're actually going to have a tailgate party at the game, which is going to be at 4 o'clock at Reinerson Stadium in Ypsilanti, Michigan, on the campus of Eastern Michigan University. We hope that all of you will come out. We have food and all kinds of things for you. I'm anxious for you to listen in next week. We've got some great programs coming up. Until then, you are dismissed.
The views and opinions expressed on Veterans Radio LLC are not necessarily the views of this program, of this station, or its network.